Time now for Wisconsin Life. Jules Verne's Journey to the Center of the Earth is a classic work of 19th century science fiction. After writer Alex Bledsoe shared the story with his son, the two found a local way to get inside the Earth.
I've always read to my children and started them on real stories as soon as I could. A great source has been the Classics Illustrated series. It sports simplified text and an illustration on every facing page. Some would call this bastardizing, but they're missing the point. If your kid knows the basic story behind, say, Moby Dick or Call of the Wild, he or she will be better able to appreciate all the book's other levels when it gets assigned in school. And if you really want to put your kid to sleep, read them actual Melville. So anyway, when my oldest son Jacob was about 5, I read him the Classics Illustrated version of Jules Verne's Journey to the Center of the Earth. Jacob loved it, and ultimately we read it 4 times before he learned to read himself, far outstripping the book in second place, Treasure Island. I'm not sure what appealed to him so much about the Verne book, since mostly it's about some German guys walking around a lot. Yet both he and his younger brother listened to me read it over and over. When we were about halfway through it the first time, I had an idea. "Jake, you've never been to a real cave, have you? Well, there's one very close to us. It's called the Cave of the Mounds, and it's open so people can go down into it. We could see what it's like for the people in the book to go down into a cave and explore it. What do you think?" Now, Jacob has never shied away from adventure, but this made his little 5-year-old face turn as grim as Dostoevsky, who, by the way, is not included in the Classics Illustrated Library. He was clearly going over the adventures of Professor Lindenbrook and crew that we'd encountered so far. Dehydration, poisonous gas, dinosaurs rampaging in an underground sea, and way too many mentions of the bowels of the earth.
"You'll pioneer with us through countless miles of trackless labyrinths. You'll find yourself engulfed in grotesque, petrified jungle."
Finally, he looked at me with the kind of dead serious expression that only a thoughtful 5-year-old can muster and said, with great solemnity,
"You realize we could die."
Well, we didn't die. Instead, we had a great time at Cave of the Mounds. And since the cave was sealed off for millions of years before it was inadvertently blasted open in 1939, it contains no bats, no bugs, no blind cave fish, and no dinosaurs. What it does have is a unique geologic beauty that quickly overcame Jacob's worries. We've gone there many times since, and each time we discover something new. No giant cavemen herding mastodons, alas, but we always have hope.
Alex Bledsoe is the author of many books, including the Eddie LaCrosse novels, Tufa, and the novels of the Memphis Vampires. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
Here to talk more about exploring caves here in Wisconsin, we're joined by Casey Fisk. He is chairman of the Wisconsin Speleological Society. Casey, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what got you started exploring caves?
I think it was more of a family tradition than anything. When I was growing up as a young boy, my family would take us to commercial caves. And then I kind of followed that tradition on with my own family because I have 4 little daughters and who are all grown up now, but we would go to different caves and just carry on the tradition of caving.
And what was it about those caves that intrigued you?
I think it's probably the last frontier that's never been explored. We've been to the tallest mountains that are available. We've been to the lowest oceans. We've been there before, but we have not been into the earth. There's lots of places inside the earth that we haven't explored yet, and that is really interesting to me.
And as we heard in that Wisconsin Life piece, I mean, there are commercial caves where people kind of lead you through, and it's very unadventurous. What's the next step if you decide, hey, I want to see more caves, maybe a little more off the beaten underground path?
Yeah, commercial caves are fun, but if you really want to get down and dirty and get into the earth, you actually need to go what is called wild caving. And there are, I know, at least 400 caves that are in Wisconsin and that you can do caving in Wisconsin.
What is a commercial cave? Does that just mean one that's open to tourists?
Commercial caves are generally ones that you have to either have scheduled tours or you're paid for admission. Commercial caves are most known for they're fully lighted. They have smooth floors and railings and stairs and steps. But actually, when you're doing wild caving, there's none of that.
Now, I imagine if I decided I want to go wild caving, the first thing to do is not find the cave entrance and blunder in. So, right, what is the preparation? What's the first step? Do you apprentice? How do you get into that?
Well, the first thing, you want to make sure you have permission to be in the cave. Most caves in Wisconsin are all on private property, so do get permission from the landowner to go into the cave. And then you always want to cave with buddies, just like when you go scuba diving with buddies. You never go by yourself. And then you always will have a contact person. Which is an exit time. You plan to be in the cave for an hour. Make sure that person knows that that you will be out in an hour. If you're not, then they need to warn authorities.
Now, we've been talking about caving. I've also heard the term spelunking. Are they different things?
They are basically the same thing. Spelunking is kind of a term that we don't use too much anymore.
Oh, really? How come?
You always hear about spelunkers and stuff like that, because spelunkers are more of a term that's used for people that are more, they're not, I wouldn't say professional, but they're inexperienced cavers. And what I'm always saying is that cavers have to rescue spelunkers, because we do have a call-out list within our organization, and we have people that do go into caves. They're not going in preparing for what they're getting into, and they get lost in caves, and we have to go find them. So cavers generally have to find spelunkers.
So apart from finding spelunkers in the caves, what do you see? What kind of cool stuff do you encounter when you're down in these wild caves?
Well, there is a lot of habitat. I mean, as far as different types of animals and stuff, lots of bats, lots of critters, cave critters, and lots of interesting things to look at. But the most interesting thing is the different rock formations that you do find underground, all the different speleothems that you'll find in the caves.
Stalactites and stalagmites.
Correct.
If I remember my
Correct.
Cave terminology, yes. But I can't remember which is which. One is a formation that comes down and one comes up,
yep.
Right?
Stalactites stick tight to the ceiling. Stalagmites grow up from the floor.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I learned it with the stalagmite and the M, and you picture an M on the ground coming up.
Is that what you were gesturing
top.
Over there
yeah,
doing?
That was my magical okay. gesture there. What would you say is the coolest geological formation you've seen underground?
The ones I really like are they're called helactites, and people don't know.
Well, I don't know what that is.
What a helactite is, it's kind of like a stalactite that defies gravity, and it actually grows down and it grows back up.
Hmm.
It looks like fish hooks attached to the ceiling. Those
wow.
are pretty spectacular.
Ever see anything like, in the movies where you come across a hidden lake and whole cavernous areas that open up like rooms?
Well, yeah, you can go into some of those, but we do a lot of excavation work in caves. We can get a little bit into that if you want to talk mm-hmm. a little bit more about that, but we've actually been into areas, and that's part of our exploring part that we get into areas where people never been in before. And it's like, this is the first time you've ever seen it. Nobody's ever seen this before.
Yeah, I wanted to ask.
Streams and lakes, and yeah, it's pretty neat.
I wanted to ask about that. How much of it is, caves that have already been mapped out or charted out by someone versus, territory that you might be the first human stepping into?
Well, yeah, that's part of it. There's, because of the way that the glaciers that came over Wisconsin, most of the caves in Wisconsin are pretty much filled in. And so a lot of what we have to do is excavate the caves back out to get into these different areas that people's never seen before. So it is a lot of work, but we do quite a bit of excavation work as long as with caving.
Mm-hmm. Is there an area of Wisconsin that is known for its caves, or are they just sort of scattered about the state?
There are basically two locations in Wisconsin. Southwest Wisconsin has a lot of caves in that area, and that's where the unglaciated areas are. And in other words, northeastern Wisconsin, where you have the exposed areas where caves are located.
Well, I know part of the goal in caving is to make sure you protect the wildlife that's there already. And the white-nose syndrome in bats, what kind of precautions do cavers take to try to make sure you're not contributing to the spread of that disease in the caves?
Yeah, one of the basic premises for is to have clean gear. And you never really want to go with dirty gear from cave to cave in case you could spread it. It would almost be impossible to spread it, but we just take that precaution and make sure you, after each caving trip, that you do clean all your gear.
What if you really like the idea of caving, but you think you might be a little claustrophobic? Mm. Is there a way to sort of dip your foot and see how you do?
Yeah, what you can get with our organization, we do have caves that we do take people to, and we take them into different areas of the cave. We have caves that are walking passages, and then you have caves that are really tight and really crawly. So you can generally tell by that. We just take people that want to try it out, see how it's going. So we get options as far as all walking, or you can do crawling or whatever you want to do.
I'm not particularly claustrophobic, but the thought of, you know, being crawling in a tight space, you can only move forward or wriggle backward. I mean, that induces claustrophobia. I mean, how often do you encounter something like that in caving?
That's quite often, actually, especially in Wisconsin, because most of the caves, like I say, are pretty small, and they were filled in with glacial material, so it's hard to get through them.
I might have to appreciate caves from afar. Would you give that a shot?
I think I have to appreciate caves from afar, too. I mean, I'd love to try it. I don't know. Can you overcome that claustrophobia? Is it something that you felt at first and then you had to get over?
I was never like that, but yeah, it's just like anything. If you're scared of a certain thing, then you will actually do more of it and you'll get used to it after a while.
Any safety measures we should know about when we're in the caves?
Biggest thing is make sure you take 3 sources of light with you, and do the buddy system, and make sure you tell people that you're in that cave and what time you're supposed to be getting out.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Casey.
Well, thanks for having me.
We've been speaking with Casey Fisk, chairman of the Wisconsin Speleological Society.